Sure. By I'm sure that I usually say two types of shiur. Some shiur I say about masbech sidus, the chazber, like a lena sugya. Some shiur I say, or like Musa v'edus Hashem. We understand that the ilum. There's any change, so you should let me know. But understand the Olim is more interested in Avodas Hashem, like Musa, such a type of a shiur. So, those before Hanukkah, really I should speak about Hanukkah, but since this is the Indian of saying Musa, maybe we'll try to connect it to Hanukkah. But it's more like a general Indian of Avodas Hashem. I would like to ask you to excuse my English. I don't have the best English. I hardly use the English language. I always use Yiddish, so I don't know, I always have the right words, the right expression, but I'll try my best. Speak at first about the Indian of Musa, learn the limit of Musa. Learning about Avodas Hashem, the Chochma of Avodas Hashem. So generally it's like sort of in the Yeshivish world, the Chassidish world. It's usually accepted that there's Chassidus, there's Kabbalah, there's Lomdus, any Chalakim of Torah, there's Musa. Usually Musa is connected with, it's always like attached to the Derech HaMusa that's known, like the Derech of Bepsal Salamta, the known Derech HaMusa in the Olam HaYeshivas. And this means Musa, Lumad HaMusa. So if you're Baal Musa, that means you're going in the Derech of the Baal HaMusa, the known Baal HaMusa, Bepsal Salamta and Stalmidim. So that has a not right effect. It has a bad effect, and which is really a mistake, because many times a person could say, "I'm not a Baal Musa. I'm a Lamdan. I'm not a Baal Musa." Some people would say, "I'm a Chassidish. I come from a Chassidish Echeda. Not Chassidim, not Baal Musa. Chassidus, something else." So what's this person trying to make us Baal HaMusa? It's not our Derech. Our Derech is not the Derech HaMusa. So first, I want to explain that it's a misconception. It's not right. The Derech HaMusa is usually attached and connected with the Pesach Salamta only because the Pesach Salamta was an Ur the Olam. He made the Olam aware of the importance of learning Musa. So, like many tzaddikim, some tzaddikim, like the Chafetz Chaim, made aware of the Olam on the importance of being Nizr and Lashon Hara. So that doesn't mean that if you're Nizr and Lashon Hara, you're a Baal Chafetz Chaim. You're Mekayim a Mitzvah, which every Yid is obligated to be Mekayim. You have to, it's a chiv of being Nizr and Lashon Hara. But Chaim only was Meir, he was the one that was Mepharsim and did a big avodah to to make the Dalim aware of Lashon Hara, of this of Lashon Hara. So Salamta is what made Dalim aware of the importance of Musa, of learning Musa, thinking in a way of Musa. Besides that, the Psal Salamta also had a certain derech of Musa. That's the derech of Reb Psal Salamta. That could be called the derech of Reb Psal Salamta. But Musa has many derechim. You don't have to be a Talmud of Reb Psal Salamta to have a derech of Musa. See, this is also a lot of Musa. And if you're not a Bal Musa, it's not that you're not a Bal Musa. It's a shaila on your Yiddishkeit. I mean, the Chazal are full of Musa. Shleim HaMelech made a sefer on Musa. Mishle and Kehelas two sefer on Musa. Musa is all over in the Torah. Musa is in all Madrashim and all the God of Shabbashas. The whole the big chelik of Torah Shabbiksav of Torah is Moshe of the Chumashu Chumashu is Musa. Can't say I'm not a Bal Musa. Not a Bal Musa, that means you're not a Yid. You're not a Yid to be not a Bal Musa. There's a certain derech of Musa, which is called the derech of Reb Psal Salamta. Let's say Reb Psal Salamta, basically, there's two chedushim where I wouldn't go explaining at length. It's he made a doggish emphasis on Yiras Oynish. He was very emphasized, very much, you should know that there's a din, there's a yom adin, and he put a lot of koiches in that. I'm not going to explain why. See, them didn't emphasize it so much, and also he made a big emphasis to show people that to show Klal Yisrael that mitzvah shebein adam lechaveiro is just as important as mitzvah shebein adam lemakom. Just like you have to be erlich yid and davening and learning and all mitzvahs bein adam lemakom. So to being nizer. And I know it's dvarim, not to make someone else feel bad, being nizer, and lashon hara, being nizer, not to be mazik someone, and being nizer, and kvoit chaveicha, to be mechabit your fellow Jew, your fellow friend. It means all that's just as much divrei Torah as being nizer and kashrus, as being nizer and Shabbos. It's all one Torah. So this is the basic derech that Reb Psal Salamta was busy with, was Oisikin. And this is called the Psal Salamta's Dara. But Musar is something else. Musar is a Dover, a very, very Dover Klali. It's a thing that's Koilul Kolotari Kulu. And if you're not about Musar, you're not aware of Musar, it's very hard to be, it's almost impossible to be Oivid Hashem. You have to have the Soidus of Musar, you have to be a Elohi, to be a from a Yid, you have to have the Yisoydus of Musa, more or less, but it's I don't know what to write in English, it's mukhrach, you can't do without it. So we'll elaborate a little on the Indian, Klali of the Indian of Musa. Musa basically has two functions. One Indian of Musa is the Indian of his Oiris. Musa has to be Ma'ira person. Ma'ira means to wake him up, to make him aware, to inspire him, inspiration. That's Musa, that's called his Oiris, the Oiris of Musa. And the second basic Indian of Musa is to teach a person the yashrus, how to think in a way that he should be consistent. Contradiction. You should have a contradiction in yourself. It should be your snahagis, your way of acting shouldn't be contradictory. Shouldn't be like this, it doesn't go. It's like you're a hypocrite. It's to take out the hypocrisy of the way of your acting in towards the mitzvahs, toward Yiddishkeit. So we'll try to elaborate on these two inyan. Rambam says that the inyan of shofar is uri yishein mishinascha. Shofar, tachlis of the union of shofar is wake up. People should wake up from their sleep. People are dormant. They're asleep. They're fast asleep. And the shofar has to wake us up. Wake up from the sleep. Oysam, the Rambam says, Ashaychem Aswamis, if I get the truth, Bahavle Yazman, in the Havolam, in the stupidity that the Zman, that the Oylam Azeh brings to the person. So wake up. Hashem, wake up from your Tardema, wake up from your sleep. So you could learn this Rambam. And the person would ask himself, I'm asleep. I never knew I'm asleep. I'm completely awake. I'm awake. I'm not asleep. I'm aware of everything. I know of everything. My mind is very open, works very, very good. What does Rama tell me that I'm asleep? So really, if a malach would come down to this world and would look at the world, he wouldn't even believe that there's such a world. Because people are so asleep, so dormant, they're such a deep sleep, that they can't even imagine how much they sleep. And if a person doesn't just shake and wake up, they'll be sleeping for 70 years, for as long as they live till they go up to Bezen Shalmala. Will be asleep, and they will be asked questions about the Shamala, and these questions are going to be very, very simple questions, but very basic questions, and he'll say, "I never thought about it." So the Shamala would ask him, "Why didn't you think about it?" And they'll bring him many, many, many rais, many chachas that he should have thought about it. Not only should have thought about it, he said these things every day. One, he saw these in Yalnam. He saw these things and he said it and he repeated it. And you're always talking about it. So how could he sleep? How could he sleep? He's saying things that should wake you up. You never heard what he's saying. You never heard what you're learning. So why did he sleep? How come he slept? He wouldn't have what to answer. Just I slept. We tried to wake you up many times, the Bezen Shemala would say. We were working very hard to wake you up, and you should have woken up. Why do you sleep? There would be no answer. There would be no answer whatsoever. Can't answer anything. So what Moshe is trying is playing to wake you up, to make you aware of very simple, simple things, which are the Yisoides of Amunah, Yisoides of Yiddishkeit, Yisoides of Torah. Just be aware of it. We know that this world is a world of Hayim Lasoisa. Hayim Lasoisa, to do Torah mitzvahs, which the Tachos is, Olam Haba, which is just the Olam Haba is the real world, the world of Nitzchias, of eternity. Olam Haba, and it's Olam Hazeh. Really, a neshama has a very, very long history, a very long, long future. In other words, neshama, the origin of a neshama was before the world, Kisei HaKavod, and all neshamas were included in the neshama of Adam Rishon. And we all did the chait of Etz Hadas along with Adam Rishon, because we were all part of Adam Rishon. And then there's a long story of the neshamas after the chait of Adam Rishon, how the Rishon was Oisik. And being stuck in these neshamas, all neshamas, most of us probably, not most of probably all, not all of us, we're already in this world in many ways. The world as people, as could have been a different creatures. We had a long history before the world, before we came down to the world. We're very old, there's a long history of neshamas. There's still a long future. Neshamas, too. It reaches its tikkun, it reaches its place where it's supposed to be, in Olam Haba. Shamas go through tikkunim that could last yovel and yovel, and it could be even hundreds of years. I mean, long gugulim, other gugulim, other matzavim. There's a long, long, long history of neshamas. Neshamas are very old and they live very, very long. Until they come to the real eternal life, which is olam haba, that's the tachlis. In other words, when you speak about Gehenna, Gehenna is a terrible place. The Einish of Gehenna is, Mamash, you can't imagine. It can't be so bad as we imagine, because the Einish gives the neshama, powers the neshama to carry these Einish, to endure these Einish. But it's a big Einish, it's a big punishment. And, the Gehenna is already the last Einish. It's the final Einish, until you get to Gehenna. Gehenna is like a hospital. Hospital, people suffer in a hospital. The very harsh treatments, very painful treatments, operations, many surgeries that mamish leave you over with a lot of pain. But if there's a good hospital, everyone tries to get into, every chayla tries to get into the hospital. You have to have a pull to get into a hospital, and because that from a hospital you come out healthy. You hope to come out healthy from the hospital. You come out cured from your sickness from the hospital. So even though there is a lot of hardships, a lot of pain, but it pays. It pays. You go out healthy. The Gehenna is a hospital. Everyone comes out cured from the Gehenna. Gehenna cures you. So it's a big atzlocha for the neshama when it's permitted to go into the hospital. It's accepted in the hospital. Shams fight and they try to have a lot of pull to come into Gehenna, because that's the final stage of the purification of a neshama, and it comes out healthy from this hospital. That's already very good for a neshama. Not speaking about tzaddikim, don't know about Gehenna. They go right into Gan Eden. They take out Rishon from Gehenna. Most people, Gehenna is very pretty good. The worst thing is that the Rebbeinu Shloim tells a neshama that wasn't oisik in avodas Hashem, never thought about avodas Hashem, didn't think about doing its chayvosoi be'olamo, its obligation to Hashem in this world, its duty that Hashem gave it to do in this world. They never thought about it. Was busy a whole olam hazeh in different things, becoming rich, having covet, and having taivas, having enjoyment, all types of physical enjoyments of olam hazeh. Never thought even about Hashem. When he went to daven to be yotze, whatever. So the Rebbeinu tells the neshama, you need to think about me. I'm not going to think about you. Go. I'm not thinking about you. Just go. And he flies and he dwells in together all the malachi chabola that he created with his avers, and he's part of their gang. They become like a gang. He's part of them, and the tzar of a neshama to be part of a gang of malachi chabola, and he's part of them. He helps them along because he helped them along in this world too. So he's part of the whole gang of malachi chabola. And they go now. They do all types of bad things to this to these neshamas, to these gufim, these neshamas. They're all it's a whole world. It's a whole underworld. You're part of the underworld. You go. I'm not looking at you. I'm not punishing you. I'm not trying to do anything with you. Punishing means that I'm trying to purify you. No, I'm not even punishing you. Go where you were in the Hayom Hazeh. Go in the next world too. And one neshama meets the other neshama. And tells him, what's happening with you? I don't know what's going to happen with me. I'm just flying here for the last 10 decades. I'm for a century I'm flying. And I don't know. Just going on. I'm not feeling any that I'm getting better. I'm part here. I don't know what's going to happen to me. And it's big. It's a big pain. It's a pain, mamish, that you can't even think about it. It's a tzar. And the biggest tzar is that the Rebbeinu Shloim is not even mashgiach on you. He doesn't care about you. He doesn't want to know you. He's he just he, It doesn't. You didn't have a shaychus with me. You didn't want to know me. I'm not going to know you. That's your einish. That's your punishment. Until Yom Kippur, every Yom Kippur, the neshama hears something. Oh, there is still hope. Every Yom Kippur, there's a hope for every neshama. He gets chizuk, there's hope. Oh. And this goes and goes on. And it's a long history until the neshama comes to its tikkun. There are many types of tikkunim for neshamas. There's a tikkun that sometimes, obviously, every neshama, amach kulam tzadikim, he did something which is good, which is going to bring him to Olam Haba. Many times he has good children which help him get closer to Olam Haba. Sometimes he has a connection to a tzaddik, and the tzaddik is gonna be mal him to get closer to Olam Haba. There are many ways that the Baruch Hashem helps a neshama, but nothing comes even close. Nothing comes close. It's not the same inyan like a neshama that was a tzaddik in this world, did good in this world. What good deeds, mitzvahs in this world do, there's no comparison to any type of tikkun that you'll have after in the next world. These years are years of, and then Shama looks back on the time that it was in this world. It feels, This was the best time that I ever had. Here, whatever I did, I accomplished. Whatever I did was a real, real accomplishment. Which things that I have to suffer for years and years, I could acquire in a minute, in a second, in this world. I do a mitzvah. I give tzedakah. I daven b'kavana. Whatever I do in this world, this is oitzer nitzchi. It's an eternal oitzer which is going to bring me to nitzchis. These are the finest years of the history of the neshama. The neshama has a long history, thousands of years. And the 120 years that we're in this world are our finest hours, our finest years. And the neshama looks back at these years and thinks, wow, how I wish that I had another chance to live in this world and become a tzaddik. Neshama, those in the next world, what a tzaddik means. A tzaddik is something. Some magnificent what a tzaddik is. When a tzaddik gets nifter, it becomes like a chasana in Olam Haba. All the malachim, a simchan, all the olamas. It's mamish. What a tzaddik is, maybe I'll explain a different shmuz, what means a tzaddik. The simcha that a tzaddik is goyim in all the olamas. A tzaddik doesn't even have a din. I don't think he has a middis. There's a din on a tzaddik. There's a bezin that looks that down on your tzaddik. So it comes up, and the Shechina Kedosh, the Baruch Hashem tells him, "You're from my people. Come with me. You're from my people." He can't be done. Who could be done? Tzaddik? Which malach could be done a tzaddik? Tzaddik could burn all the malachim with his kedusha. He's going to be done a tzaddik. The biggest chutzpah to be done a malach should be done a tzaddik. Who's a tzaddik? The tzaddik gives chiyus for all the malachim. He's much bigger than all the malachim. Tzaddik is something else, because he worked on this world. What did tzaddik do? He became a tzaddik in this world. This is the world. This is the place. This is the place where this is the market. Or you lose, or you win, or you become rich, or you lose everything that you have. This is the place. I once had a dream. I'm not saying emotional. It's a true story. My dreams are not Ruach HaKodesh, plain dreams like every person has. But this dream was also a plain dream, but I learned Musa from that dream. Sometimes you can learn Musa from a dream. It was a plain dream. One response said, and the dream was that it's like Lach HaMei Vesra, Oilem Elyon, and I'm ready to go come to Bezal Shamayel. And I start asking myself, am I ready to go to Bezal Shamayel? I don't know. I have a doubt. I'm not so sure. I don't know. I would like to do something to prepare, to be ready to Bezal Shamayel, to do some mitzvahs, to become a tzaddik, to do something. So I'm asking myself in the dream, no, it's too late. It's too late to do. Now you can't do anything. In this world, when a person wants to become good, he always has a chance. No, from now on, now. I'll forget what it was. Now, from now on, I'll be good. But in the next world, there's no such thing. It's too late. You know, you should have been tzaddik in this world. You can't do anything. then I ask myself again, I can't do anything. How could it be? How could it be I can't do anything? I'm ready to go to Bez and Shamal, I can't do anything. No, you can't do anything. If a person wants to imagine the feeling of being in a matzav, there's no such thing in this world. You can't do anything. It's too late, it's all over. The ball game is over. You can't do anything. It's over. You can't do anything. No. So then I felt a very deep feeling. I felt I would give everything that I have. Everything that I have. If I have anything to give, I would give it that the Rebbein Shem should let me come back to this world at least for one day. Because on this day I'll think, I'm going to be over the Hashem that there'll be kind of mamish olam haba. Yesh kind of olam b'sha'achas. I'll mamish be kind of. And this feeling was so strong, so I woke up. The feeling is very strong, you wake up. And I said, I'm in this world. A miracle. Mamish anas. I can't thank you enough, Rabbi Nishleidim, that I'm still in this world. It was only a dream. It was only a dream. I'm still in this world. I should have become a big tzaddik after that dream. What should I do? But it was mamish musar. It was a musar min hashamayim. That's exactly how neshama feels. It would give everything. Kol chalalad alam, everything. They should let it back in this world again. This world is a world that you're working on nitzchis. What means nitzchis? Eternity. And not working to be successful and covet, to be an honorable person. You're not working to be a rich person. You're not working to be a smart person. All types of success. No, you're not working for that. You're working if you'll have a relationship to the Rebbein Shloilem, a close relationship. You'll be considered from the Havai Hashem, from the ones that are loved by Hashem, that are close to Hashem, or you're going to be from the Anshei Kitzpoy, like the Chayiv Zavos calls them, the ones that Hashem is angry at them, rejected by Hashem. By Neshama, if the Baruch Hashem tells the Shechinah, tells the Neshama, you did it good, you did a good job. That's the biggest chah. That's the whole life of a Neshama. And if the Shechinah tells the Neshama, you could have done better. That's the biggest star for Hashem. That's mamish. Especially if the Shechina says, "I don't want to know you. Go to them. Go there. You can't imagine what that means. And now you're not working on something which you're working the Olam Amos. Everything in this world is a mushel. Is a mushel for the Olam Amos. When this person, someone is a failure. He's a failure in this world. He's a failure. His friends are a success and he's a failure. His chaver, his brother, are successful. They made it. They're successful and he's a failure. Everyone knows that this world is not the Amos. It's not the real world. Every person has in himself a certain self-respect to rationalize and to say, he's a success. I'm not such a failure. People don't know about my inner success, my milus and this. And maybe someday they'll know about it. Someday I'll be successful. This world is not the final decision of what a person is. You know, things change and people don't know everything. And he could be mechazik himself. He could strengthen himself and feel a certain self-confidence. I'm not such a failure. He's not such a success, and I'm not such a failure. And that's how this world works. Still, people feel very bad if everyone thinks they're a failure and someone else is successful, and their close friends are successful. So people work very much on to be successful. You're successful in any field they're involved in. Tom Trocham feels he has to be the biggest Rosh Yeshiva. Someone else feels that he has to be the biggest richest person. This person feels he has to be the president of the United States. Everyone has different dreams. Different dreams of what success means. Now you're talking about Olam Amos. There's no shek. There's no shek. What you are, everyone knows that what you are. You know what you are, and It's the emes. In other words, you're not interested only in the emes. You're not so much interested in what people think about you, what he thinks about you. You're only interested in the emes, and it's the oilam emes. If you're labeled as a tzaddik, you know you're a tzaddik. If you're labeled as a rasha, you know that you're a rasha. There's no two ways. It's the oilam emes, and this emes will have effect for eternity. Eternity. Anyone ever imagined what eternity means? Eternity never ends. Go a million years from now, it didn't start, it didn't even start. Go trillion years from now, it didn't even start. Go trillions and trillions, it never started. It's eternal, it never ends. So a person should be so aroused that he should withdraw a little from this arousal, because he wouldn't be able to take it even. You're here for 120 years, and this is gonna be the This is gonna be the thing that's gonna decide what you will be in the eternal Olam Hamas. So everyone should always ask the question, go around and ask the question: what should I do in these few years that I'm in this world? What should I do? Let someone tell me, what should I do? What should I do? These are the most decisive years in my whole history. I should take it very, very, very serious. I take life serious. Life is serious. Yeah, if a person has a danger of chas v'shalom losing his life, he will look for the best doctor, the best refuah, the best hospital, the best and the best, because life is very precious. Why is life so precious? Life is only precious because life is precious because it means a lot. Life means very much. Life means the place where you acquire eternity. You acquire Olam Haba. You acquire, if you're close to Hashem, of your Meruchdash. There's no mashal for that. For neshama to be close to Hashem or to be far from Hashem, to be nahanam as if Hashchina, or to be with the Malachi Chabala and the Choshech. So everyone should really ask himself, what should I do with my life? What should I do with my life? I would ask people. I asked many people. I think the silent answer of everyone was, and that's how I noticed. I asked Bochum, I asked, if ever in their life they close themselves up in a room, they pace the room up and down. People should really do it in the younger years, but it's never too late. And think. If life is so precious, if life is, I'm giving away everything for my life, everything, life, and I know that it is precious, it's eternal, it's Olam Haba. So what am I going to do with my life? These are the exact first words of the Mesillas Yesharim. She is barer, is amos, eitz la adam, ma'ahu chayvasoi b'olam. That's a statement. It's a statement which should make a revolution in the whole world. It's an atom bomb. He threw an atom bomb on the whole world. And it said, the Yisoyed HaChasidus, the Yisoyed HaVoyed HaTmima, is Sheiz Barer, Veiz Amos, Aitz La'odam. A person should be convinced, should be Veiz Amos, should know exactly what is my duty in this world. It's such a basic question. This is such a basic question that every mom and every yid who says Shema Yisrael should ask himself, what's my duty? So why don't you find that people should pace the floors up and down and ask themselves and ask their rebbes and ask, what should I do in this world? What's my tafkid? What should I put an emphasis on? What does the bunch want from me? I don't think hardly anyone, thought it really seriously and came to a decision and a resolution that's what I'm going to do a whole life. I have one purpose in my life, and he comes to the maskana, a resolution, and resolves, this is what I'm doing, this is what I am, and this is what I'm doing. Why don't people think like that? Isn't that a very, very basic question? Isn't that something that every normal person should ask himself? So the Torah says, because everyone is sleeping. That's what the Rambam says. Everyone is sleeping. He's saying every day, he speaks about Olam Haba, he's speak a lot about Olam Haba. Yiseva Haftas Hashem Elokecha B'chol Levavcha B'chol Nafshecha B'chol Ma'idecha. You say Haim Lasois Amarcha L'Kal B'Scharim. You find it all the Vechazal, the whole Torah. You find it. And why do you ask yourself such a question? What am I doing with my life? What's the purpose of my whole life? And what should I work on? And you come to a resolution. I have to do this and this, and this is my tafkid, and this is what I'm going to do, and I'm going to try to become better and better, and be in a higher madrega, and a higher madrega, and this is my tafkid in this world. So it's a very simple question, which everyone should ask himself, and no one asks it. So Musar is the purpose of Musar is that to wake up people. People should wake up. If they learn Musar every day, so someday they'll wake up. They take a certain vitamin every day, and this vitamin is gonna slowly but surely work on your body, and you start thinking differently, and one day you'll wake up. It makes people aware of something which is very simple and very basic, and just people, because the Yetzirah is so successful in making people unaware and making people nothing, so the Musar is an Indian to make people think. Let's say another Indian of Musar. I'll use them for example. There are many Indianim, there are many things, the Sages of Musar. Mesillas Yesharim says, incidentally, Mesillas Yesharim and Chovos Avos should be considered two basic Sfarim of Musar, like the Shulchan Aruch of Musar. There's Halacha Hilchas Musar. And there could be many days. How is the halacha? The halacha, like the Shulchan Aruch says, is based basically on the Shita of the Rambam and the Rosh and the Rif. These are the three Amudei Hara of Shulchan Aruch. Who are the Amudei Hara in Musar? I think it's very simple. The Ikir Amudei Hara is the Chovos Avos and the Mesillas Yesharim. These are considered the main Musar Sfarim, and these Sfarim you should always learn again and again, and use them as your guide in Avodas Hashem. Okay, so I'll ask another question. The Mesillas Yesharim says in the beginning of Zehiris, it says like this, the middle of Zehiris is that a person should always think before he does something, should I do it or shouldn't I do it? That's what he says. Zehiris, be nizer in your minds. He explains it a little, and the whole explanation comes out like this, that a person is like a, call them a factory. And there's many people working the factory. The purpose of the factory is to, you know, should make business and should be made, there should be profit, should make good products, should sell it good, make profit. But there has to be a manager on this factory. Someone has to manage this factory. There has to be a boss in the factory, there has to be a manager in the factory. If not, without a manager, a boss, the whole factory is going to go. It's going to be a jungle. It's going to be crazy. It's going to be, nothing's going to happen. So a person is also a factory. He has many, many workers. His hands, his heart, his mind. It's a whole factory. There are many actions that a person does. And the actions that a person does are not meaningless. They mean very much. They mean much, much more than we could see that what they mean. In other words, when you say do a mitzvah, yeah, there's many siddurim, some siddurim have it, some don't have it, but you don't say it, but that's what happens. You say before a mitzvah, you say the shem yichud kitshe berchi yishkanta. I'm not going to explain what that means, but everyone who's even a little about Torah, shtickle yid, knows that means something very, very, very great. Yichud kitshe berchi yishkanta. You're doing something. It means everything. It means something that you can't even understand what it means. In other words, when you ride a car, you're a pilot in an airplane. Okay, so you're doing something. You know? You're doing something that you have a responsibility to do it good. Or else, if you don't do it good, you're putting yourself in danger, you're putting other people in danger. You ride a car, you have to have a license. No? You have to have a license that you're responsible to ride the car in a proper manner. You're a pilot on a passenger plane, and there's hundreds of passengers. You're big, you have a big chrayus, you have a big, what's called a chrayus? Responsibility, you have a big responsibility. You have to be very careful. You have everything that you do. You have everything. You have every button. Every button you press. Everything you have to have. You have 10 eyes. You have to have. You have to be trained long. You have to be a big balachrais, a big person who could take a responsibility of being a pilot on the plane. Let's say a person would close his eyes and go into a car, and he doesn't even know how to drive, and go to the middle of Manhattan, press the gas, and fly. What's that person? He's a murderer. He's a crazy person. He's a mishugana. He's an animal. He's a beast. I know what he is. He doesn't care about his life. He doesn't care the life of other people. He's not a normal person. He's very, very sick. You have to put him in a ward of the biggest mishugam, the biggest mental cases. Person would take an airplane. Sit in the airplane and start pushing buttons. And the airplane would fly up and down. Make it crash into other airplanes, and it would make a disaster. What's this person? There's no name for this person. He's crazy as crazy could mean. Now, I'm not saying now something which is similar to that, but I'm saying something which is exactly that, or even much worse than that. And if people wouldn't sleep, they would take it as I say it. In other words, the definition exactly. It's not a mashal. It's exactly like I said. When a person does something, he does yichud kitchev rechishchent. What that means? It means let's say a mashal brings a light to thousands, millions of oilemes and malachim and srofim. Brings the light of Hashem and. Something magnificent, something. So if you would do an aveir, it would say the shem yichud on the aveir too. Let him say the shem yichud. What would be the nusach? You'd say the shem pirut. The shem pirut. I don't want to say it further. Just like he's miyachet kitchur rechishchunte with a mitzvah, so he does the opposite when he does an aveir. In other words, he brings a choshech kiviyachal for the shechina, choshech for kitchur rechishchunte, choshech for all the oilemes. So a person is not a car, he's not an airplane. He's much more than that. So what does he do? He closes his eyes, he just presses. He doesn't think what he's doing. Here he speaks Lashon Hara. Here he's Oyvon Anoyz Devar. He's not Mechavim B'Tfilah. Here he gambles. He's not honest in business. Here he says lies, and here, many things. So the various Adam Dash Ba'Kevav, what a person does. Here he's not Mechavim B'Baruch, many things. So let him say the Shem Pirut. Notice he pushed the button and was going a Chorban Ol Olamos. He's a plane. He's an airplane. He's a car. And he doesn't even care. He lives all his life and never was responsible for his actions. Zihiris means that there's a manager here. There's someone that's responsible for everything that you do. A person can make sometimes a mistake. A mistake is a mistake. But there's someone who's responsible for everything that happens in this factory, which is called Adam. No, there's someone that is mashgiach. There's a mashgiach in this factory. There's a responsible. If there's no one responsible, you're the most irresponsible person that was ever in the world. What should we do? The most people are like that. It's just the big atzlach of the Yetzirah that you can't even imagine. If a malach would come down to this world, he would rub his eyes. When the Bershom gives even a remes, gives a hint for a malach, just Bershom goes with his finger like this, kiviyachal, or gives a blink with his eye, and the malach understands what the Bershom means, so he runs from sofa ilum vatsofa, he runs from onda, with his visas, with his lahavas, to do rotz nashem, ritzoyin koinam, he said every day, v'chulam oysum be'im of yir, ritzoyin koinam, v'chulam poischem aspia, what's meant poischem aspia? The path of a person, Chazal say, Ma'am Nosa Shel Adam, what's the umness of a person in this world? Yosem Atzmek Ile. Should make himself like he's Ile. Like he's how's it called? Mute person. Can't talk. Tzadik to the bear. Yoch Lafta. The retire, Tzadik to the bear. Tzadik, you should talk. What's Pshat Chazal? is a shailu. What's the mouth of a priest? Is that a active aver? Active. In other words, it's to make it active. You don't have to make it active. If you want to close it, you have to close it. But if you don't do anything under normal temperature, under normal circumstances, it goes. It's active. Like an eye, we would say. You look. If you don't close the eyes, you close. But under normal way, you look. When you're awake, you look. So what's the mouth? Under normal circumstances, is it something that talks? And when you want to be silent, you close it. So Chazal tell us, you should know that the mouth is a closed aver, it's a closed sense. In other words, the speech is not made to talk. You have to ilam, you have to be mute. You don't talk. If you want to talk, so then you open your mouth and you talk. But not you talk, and when you want to be silent, you close your mouth. No, it doesn't work this way. The chazoka de meikara, like we'd say in the yeshiva, the chazoka de meikara of a peh is to be closed. And when you want to be mevatel that chazoka, you want to be mevatel that previous stage, you have to open it. And people go on the bus, people come here. Frat bezmanazeh, when they have all the cell phones, they have all the kelim. Ba, 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 ba. Whole day. Talk. Rav devarim leyachtel pesha. Speech brings a lot of problems. Since the telephone came about, and now all the types of telephones, so people have much more problems. Because most, if you give you empower the mouth with new powers to talk more than it used to talk, so most speech is harmful. Most of the speech is harmful. A minority of the speech is good. Most of the speech is no good. So the Chazal tell us your mouth should be closed. When you go on a plane, you go in a car, you don't have to talk to anyone. Who tells you have to talk? People think always when they meet someone they have to talk. Yeah, maybe you have to talk. So good morning. And take it safer, a little bit safer. Think what you have to think. A person has to think. Why does he have to talk the whole day? He thinks. When he has to talk something, he feels it's proper to talk, so he opens his mouth and talks. The Malachim says, "V'chulam poischem espiyam." They open their mouth. The person doesn't. Most people don't have to open their mouth. They have to close their mouth. If they don't do anything, the mouth is open. But the Malachim, "V'chulam poischem espiyam." They open their mouth and they talk what you have to talk. So. The whole world is, you have to have someone responsible for everything that you talk, everything that you do. That's part of Adam Gadol. Adam Gadol means that anything that he does, he is responsible for it. He never does something that you could ask him and he wouldn't be responsible for what he did. He is responsible. He might make a mistake sometimes, but before he does anything, he calculates if this is Ratzon Hashem, if this is not Ratzon Hashem. Does the Rebbein Shem want me to do this? Or doesn't he want me to do this? That's Zihiris. That's called Zihiris. So it's such a posh thing. It's such a basic common sense which you wouldn't even understand how it could be different. I would ask him, Sishon, why did he have to write it? It's so simple. Why did he have to write in your sefer that every person has to be responsible for what he does? Of course he has to be responsible. Not be responsible for what a person does. It's the biggest joke. It's the biggest tragedy. It's you can't even understand it. No, so Hashem would answer me. I would like to see that after I wrote it in my sefer, how many people are responsible for what they talk. I wrote it in my sefer, and there's a few hundred years since I wrote it in my sefer, and people study it. And I would like to see, make a census, how many people could say they're responsible for everything that they do. Why is it so? It's mamsh phenomenal. Why is that? So that's the Rambam. That's exactly what the Rambam says. Uri sheinim shenascha. Wake up from your sleep. You're sleeping. And you have to wake up from your sleep. And once you wake up from your sleep, you become a different person completely. Many times the Yetzirah is going to make you think that, it's impossible for me. I'm so far from it. It's not so hard. Korev alecha dover moedish. Just start. Start and you see a burnt time. Sinai, so you'll become a different person. You'll live in a Gan Eden. All the lashon haras and all the machlokes and all the hardships, A higher person is a different life. He's respected too. He's a different. You see Adam Gadol coming into Bais Medrash. You see his Adam Gadol. You can see his Adam, the way he walks into Bais Medrash, the way with the Yishuv Hadas, that he with the serenity, the peacefulness that he goes davening, that he davens, takes a talus, says milah b'milah every word with such a tam, with such a sweetness, and talks to every person with such friendliness, with covered, and is mechabed everyone. Everything, every word that he says is full of chachma, full of wisdom, full of toichen, I mean, it's called toichen in English, it means something,
substance.
It's not substance, full of substance. It's mamish. He's a higher person. Don't you have, if there would be therapists for this, so you would go to a therapist. Don't take care. He'll work on you to get you used to act in such a way. So be your own therapist. Make this a charm for your therapist. You train yourself. Make therapy. Train yourself slowly but surely to become someone who's responsible for all his actions. But this is one thing of Musa, one aspect of Musa which I wanted to say. I have to be mekatzer a little in the second dinyan. It's probably very similar. But it's also an important dinyan of Musa. There's an dinyan of Das Torah. The Das Torah. The way the Torah looks at things, the perspective of Torah. And this teaches a person how to judge every situation, how to act in every situation. And if a person doesn't learn Musa, he could learn all the halachas, he could learn everything, halacha this, but he wouldn't have the conclusive picture of what the Torah, the way of, you have to act. You have to have a Rebbe for the two to teach you how to act in every situation of the Torah. And people are so contradictory in this Indian. They're so, I would say, like hypocritical in this. They say one thing and they mean something else. It's mamish. I always say that a child has a lot of charm. People like children because of one thing. Because whatever they are, they don't hide. You know, if they're happy, you know they're happy. If they say something, they mean what they say. If they're sad, you know. It's not like a double character. Because he doesn't have das, and he doesn't have das. He doesn't have the chet of etzah das. The chet of etzah das made people be shrewd, like the nachash. Nachash ha'yarim. And he inserted in the person a certain poison, which makes the people shrewd. They think, they talk frumah, but they're not frumah. They talk like this, and they say one thing, and they mean something else. But that loses all the chet. A child has a lot of chaim because he's so innocent. Whatever he does, he means. If he's hungry, he says he's hungry. If he, let's say even a person feels, he was the ashamed of the. So out of respect, he's not going to show it because I'll keep my respect. But a small child, if he's going to be ashamed, he's going to cry, he's going to scream, he's going to cry because he feels bad. But it's tamus. It's tamus. He doesn't hide himself. There's a certain chen, someone who doesn't hide himself. So people, the whole zahamus anachash, it goes very far. It's so contradictory from all sides. Mamish be if you mishim covered our bris. I'm not even going to say how much because it's so. It brings mamish to laughter, mamish. Give you a plain mushroom. And a person gets a compliment. Someone's going to compliment the person. He's going to say to me, this person is a bucky of shasi poiskva. Tom Tchochm knows the whole shas. Tzaddik, nisko, big tzaddik. I know it's not true. It's not true. It's klama true. It's very far from true. But still, if people are going to say that on him, he's going to feel good. So why do you feel good? Why do you feel good? You know it's not true. You know yourself it's not true. You could swear it's not true. So why do you feel good? Not only he feels good, sometimes he's going to try to make himself like a Talmud Chacham. he's going to try to make himself like a Talmud, so people should think that he's a Talmud Chacham. That's the biggest joke. You know, it's not true. You know, it's not true. So what do you have? You're fooling people. You're fooling people. You know, if you see someone else fool someone, and you know that Bamshi is fooling. So he's a fake. He's a good for nothing. You know, you're fooling people. You're fooling people. You make yourself like you know Shas. You know, you have Talmud Chacham. You know yourself. You're not Maritz. So only fooling people, and you feel good about it. Someone's going to get married after the Chasan Yekolingaman is going to get married. He's going to come home for supper. He's going to speak to his wife. He's going to tell her, I said in Koilul today, I said such a svara, such a teretz in the Rambam, that I think it's mamish, a geweldige teretz. It's mamish like Rabbi Akiva Eigen. And all the Chavri Koilul, the Koilul, very muffly this teretz, a geweldige teretz. So next day he's going to say, oh, it's another chiddush, this person told me that it's a geweldige chiddush, it's meridik, it's mamish, mavla l'ray. And like he's going to praise himself, brag about himself every day a little. And she's not used to it. She came from a sort of more humble family or more, you know, normal family that doesn't brag so much. And, you know, he's bragging. He likes to brag. So she's going to say, I can't live with such a person. He's a mental problem. He needs pills. He has to go to a very, very serious therapy. Because he's bragging. He's bragging. He says his own praises. His own praises. He's bragging. So then they go to a therapist, Shalom Bais, ask him, someone does a marriage counseling. And she's going to say, here's his side of the story. And he's going to say, what's so bad? I'm saying, my house, for my wife, I can't speak what I want, you know, I can't speak myself out, my feelings. So what's the Shalom Bais person going to say? No, lady, it's not his problem, it's your problem. What do you think? You married the Tzadik Yisod Olam. You think you married the biggest Rosh Yeshiva? You married the Rebbe Melech? You married a plain younger man. If he learns, he davens, he has middos, so he brags. No, it's a certain chasar, it's a certain sort of mishap, whatever. But most people have chasar. Nobody's perfect. Be perfect, you know, you also have certain faults, and everyone has certain faults. Don't look at the faults. You can live with it. It's a thing that's passable, it's very passable. You can live with it. If you think that you have to divorce a person because he brags about himself a little, and he doesn't brag so much, he brags like people like it sometimes. So the problem is with you. You don't know what marriage is. You know, you don't know what marriage is. You think you married the biggest Talmud Chacham, the biggest Tzaddi. So if you think, what did this therapist, what does this marriage counselor tell her? Obviously she's right. He's not right. She's right. But he told her like this. You think he's crazy? Everyone is crazy. That's what he told her. Many people brag. In other words, if it would be unaccepted mannerism to brag about yourself, it would be mamish unaccepted, so it's like someone who would do something which is mamish crazy, then he has to go to a therapist. But bragging, I could find you the biggest Rosh Yeshivas that brag sometimes about themselves. You know, people like sometimes to, you know, whatever it is. It's okay, it's a very common thing, it's nothing. In other words, it's the fact that it's common made it for being normal. But if you go to Olam Haba and you start bragging about yourself, they'll take you into Bellevue Hospital. You're crazy, you're crazy. You know it's not true, you know it's silly, it's ugly, it's whatever it is. It's inacceptable completely. But the fact that these things are accepted because people are like that, so it made it normal. So Musa tells you, who says you have to be crazy like the whole world? Be normal. Who says you're meshubet to the craziness of the world? You could work yourself up to be a normal person. Let's say if the tzaddik gadol, if the tzaddik would brag about himself, Tzaddik, if he brags about himself, tummy, it means something very, and he's allowed to, he has the license to brag it. But let's say you would know that it's no good. He brags, it's a, so then I wouldn't consider him a tzaddik. He would lose all his license to be a tzaddik because he does something which is not proper for a tzaddik. So it would be not proper for a person to do like this. He would lose the license of a normal person. He has to go to a doctor. He has to take care of it. And the world is full, mamish full, packed with such silliness, which comes all because people don't think right. People go to the entire. Yeah, because they go to the entire. They have an argument. They have a monetary argument one with another, and they come to the entire. So he takes a lawyer. He takes a lawyer. Toyin, it's called Toyin, and he tries to win. Sometimes they use all types of I don't know. Tricks and loopholes and shkara mamish and lies and everything, and everyone tries to win. So I would have to ask this person, no, you eat kosher? I eat kosher, yeah. And you try to be glatt kosher? Yeah, glatt kosher. Even glatt kosher is sometimes not enough for you. You try to, the best hechsher, the mahadrim, mina mahadrim, the best hechsher. And if a mashgiach is going to say, no, you don't have to be so kosher, it's enough this, you don't have to be so glatt. No, I want to be glatt kosher, I want to eat the food that I eat, I want it to be tachlus akashas. So now you're going to a dayan, and the dayan is now trying to give an hashgach on your money. Your money doesn't have to be kosher. Why do you want to win the Torah? You want to win it. And not only do you want to win it, you're trying all loopholes and all kulas, which you would never use, not by asterisk, you wouldn't use it by kashas, you wouldn't use it by Shabbos, you wouldn't use it by tefillin, you wouldn't use it by tzitzis, you wouldn't use it by... Only when it comes to money, you're telling the dying, you know, make me have money, which is not so glatt kosher. Not only is it not so glatt kosher, it's sometimes plain gnaving gzeil. What happened? That's not the part of the Torah. It's not part of the Torah. You should go to a dayan and with your friend, and the only purpose you go to the dayan, I want to know what the Torah says. I want a lot kosher money up your Torah. And so the dayan is going to say that I think you're right in this Torah. Ask over the dayan. Maybe there's a tzad to say that he's right. I want lot kosher money. I want only lot kosher money. Don't try to make it easy for me. I want that my money should be mamish glatt kosher. I never saw such a dintar. Why don't I see such a dintar? Because people don't learn Mesiris Yesharim. They don't learn Chayv Zavavus. If a person would learn Chayv Zavavus, they would go to the dintar, and their only purpose in going to the dintar is to know what the Torah tells me. What's the trade? I win the dintar? Not that I won the money. I won that I have now kosher money. That's what I want. I didn't know if my money is kosher. Now I know that my money is glatt kosher. Mahadram and amahadram. So the world is full of such things. I'll end with a moshel I once taught, but I'll end with this. And that's only an example. It's not even such a basic example, but brings out how people are mamish, meshuket, they're drowned in this silliness, which is plain crazy. And Moshe teaches you to think right, to think in the right way. I was once by a shir. It's a true story. I was once by a shir, a very successful maggid shir. He gave a shir for Baal HaBat, and the smedrish was packed. Mamish packed from, he couldn't even move. Also, the as his notion, the Bible shield as his notion was packed with people. People, mamish, was such a success. Every night he gave a shir in Daf Yayin. And he had a very successful maggid shir. He had charisma, he had koich to be masber, was a loud voice, and always he could condense the whole daf in a small time and say a lot of mefarshim and everything which is important, exactly what you have to say. And he omitted what you don't have to say, what's not important. And people covered the daf, and they knew very, very, very thoroughly this daf and this hour that he gave the shir. It was mamish, it was a pleasure to listen to. And this maggid shir was a babbe v'chassid. It was a babbe v'talmud, a babbe v'chassid. And I saw in the, I was once there, I saw in the crowd, person, I knew him, I knew this person, not a big Talmud Chacham. I figure he comes to the shir, you know, because he's a Yid, he wants to sit by a shir. I don't know if he's, he understands the whole shir, maybe a little, maybe yeah. He's not a person who would say, I would say that he kochs in the retor, he's involved very much and excited about the retor. Not that type. And he had such an awe from the shir. Mamshi could see that in his eyes and smile. And after the shir, he went over to the front. See this, he called him with his name, which big, which the secret was that he was also Baba Chos. He was also Baba. And he praises Magachir to his friend and told, no, he's from our yeshiva, from our Talmud, he's a Talmud of Baba. He's a Talmud of Baba. Okay, so I understand why he was so excited with the Shiva, because it was a whole oilam, not Baba Chassidim. It was all types of Chassidim, Snagdim, plain people, whatever. And this was a Baba Ingaman, a Baba Talmud, and he gave a very successful shir. So it's a big covet for Baba to have such a Talmud, a Magid shir. I was asking a few questions. First of all, that he's a successful Magid shir has nothing to do with Baba. Absolutely zero with Baba. From this Magid shir could have been a vision to chassid for the same money. And it could have been a satma chassid, it could have been a stachina chassid, it could have been anything. It has nothing to do with Baba. There's an every yeshiva, there's people, he's a talmid chacham, every yeshiva you have talmid chacham. And he's a gifted speaker, he knows how to speak, and he has, you know, he could give a shir. It's not that Baba made him for this big talm. Yeah, Baba makes talmid chacham, like every yeshiva makes talmid chacham, you know, Makom Torah, Rosh Yeshiva is making talmid chacham. This has nothing to do with Baba. And let's say it has to do with Baba. You're Baba? You're Baba chassid. You're Baba chassid. It's not a Baba Chassidim. You're Baba, you know, you created Baba, you made Baba to give out Talmid HaChacham. It has nothing to do with you. It has nothing to do with Baba, it has nothing to do. So why are you so happy? I would take him to the Baba hospital. No. You stupid, you're crazy. Why are you so happy? It's senseless, completely senseless that you should be happy because he's a Baba Chassid. But it's very normal. It's very normal. Every person would act in such a way. If I would steal a stachina chassid, I would also be very happy. it's very normal. It's a normal thing. Because everyone is crazy. Everyone is crazy. It's a normal craze. It's the gaiva. A person has about gaiva, and he has a self, such a hava for himself, such a gaiva on himself, so he puts on the gaiva on Baba, if he puts on the guy on the Magid shir, everything that could help along to his image of his own self-esteem, he would, everything, if it makes sense, it doesn't make sense, would be part of his pride, of his guy. So Musa teaches a person, no, don't live like that. You should understand what's true, what's not true, what's amiss, what's sheker, what's, you know, be a normal person. Be a normal person. And then you'll understand the Torah and you'll understand the V'chazal, completely different perspective. You understand everything. Because you don't have the craze and the ruach shtus, which the Yetzirah infused into the person by the chet of Etz Hadas. The chet of Etz Hadas infused a ruach shtus. Craze. Mamash doesn't make any sense into the person, and some people build it up even more, some elchidin that get rid of it as much as you can. Person is still a person, the Rosh doesn't expect from every person to get rid of it completely, but at least he should know about it, he should know that it's not amiss, it's not true, he should be at least aware of the mishaps of a person who doesn't work on himself and try to work the most that he could on himself, and he misakin the midos, that's the whole misakht is others. So we'll end with that whatever we speak about Musa, you should know that you can only touch on it. Because Musa is very, very, it's the wisest chacham. Today, the secular world has the psychological chacham, psychology. They know a little about it because it's like mostly a modern chacham. The Torah is the Torah psychology, the Torah way of looking at things. Not how the Torah teaches you to get rid of all craziness, of all of all types of, I would call Gaiva, I would call it, we called us a culture name, H2H, I know it's called H2O, I know, it has many names, A-B-A-A, that's Gaiva, Gaiva is another name, no, it's a borderline, that's, I know, there's many names for all sicknesses, it's sicknesses, it's plain psychological sicknesses. Everything the Torah speaks about all Midos Roros are a Ruach Shtus. It's called a Ruach Shtus. It's a psychological sickness. And the Torah makes you out. You don't have to go to a psychologist. Learn Vesel Zishon. Learn Chayim Salvavus. Most problems that people have is only because they didn't learn. They didn't learn with seriousness Vesel Zishon, Chayim Salvavus when they were in the younger years. Then it's sometimes too late. It's not, never too late if you really want, if you really work. It's not never too late. So learn Muslim, think like a Baal Muslim, and then you'll see a new wonderful world, and the version is going to be this world, it's going to be the next world, it's going to be Yismach Hashem B'Maasav, Meir Meinon.